The Columbia Broadcasting System presents The Free Company. For what avail the plow or sail, or land or life, if freedom fail? Ladies and gentlemen, today CBS is proud to contribute its facilities to a new and important development in radio history, the Free Company. The Free Company is a voluntary group of distinguished American playwrights, writers, actors, and radio workers who have joined their talents to bring you this series with no compensation other than the knowledge that it may serve America. With James Boyd as national chairman, Robert E. Sherwood, chairman of the Writers' Committee, and Burgess Meredith, chairman of the Actors Division, the Free Company will present original radio plays written by its members, Maxwell Anderson, Sherwood Anderson, Stephen Vincent Benet, James Boyd, George M. Cohan, Mark Conley, Noel Green, Erway, Archibald MacLeish, Orson Welles, Elmer Rice, William Saroyan, and Robert E. Sherwood, nine of them Pulitzer Prize winners. The plays will feature America's most distinguished screen and stage stars in the leading roles. And now, Burgess Meredith for The Free Company.
This is Burgess Meredith speaking from Hollywood. The purpose of The Free Company is to present in terms as eloquent as its members can command the meaning of freedom and to serve as a free expression of their faith in American democracy and in the basic civil rights which make it possible. Some of these plays utilize for their dramatic themes particular sections of the Bill of Rights. Others, like today's drama, will be more general in scope. For our first play in this series, Pulitzer Prize playwright William Saroyan has written The People with Light Coming Out of Them. In the cast will be John Garfield, Nancy Kelly, Eduardo Cianelli, Edmund Gwenn, William Tracy, Tim Holt, and Clinton Rosamond. The brilliant work of these artists in motion pictures is known to all of you. When we asked William Saroyan to join the Free Company, Bill said...
Well, sure. I'm fond of freedom, crazy about company. What do I do?
Write us a play.
Okay, when?
Now.
Right now?
Right now.
Good. What do you want this play to be about?
About the United States of America.
My favorite subject.
About why you like America.
Why? You might as well ask me why I like to breathe. What do you really want?
Well, Bill, tell us something about why you think this country is worth living and fighting for. Give us your reasons in a little play. You have reasons.
Oh, millions of them. As many reasons as there are places and people. Take California, for instance, or Texas or New York. Take San Francisco or Peoria. Take any place. Rockville Center, Freeport, Merrick, Belmore, Wantagh, Seaford, Massapequa, Amityville, Lindenhurst, and Babylon.
Wait a minute. Can't you sort of break that down a little?
Sure. We'll make it local. Now, look, we'll take one city block, any place. One American row of houses. Okay, now, there it is. Now, we'll take one American. Anybody. Let's take somebody something like myself so I'll know what I'm talking about. Otherwise, anybody. Instead of being a writer, let's say this fellow's a painter. He looks at things carefully and then paints what he sees in them. Okay, now there's one street and there's this young painter. He's standing on the corner.
What corner?
This American corner.
Mm-hmm.
Now give me a typewriter and I'll go to work.
Sure, here you are. Now you sit right down.
Thanks. Come on, old Walt Whitman. Tell us about America. Tell us about where we live, about home and the family. And Mark Twain, you tell us about it. And old Dan Boone. And 130 million people, you tell us about it.
This is a good block. I'll tell you who lives in this block. Well, in the flat below me is the old husband and the wife and their granddaughter. The old man's retired. He used to be a railroad worker. They gave him a pension about 2 years ago. Yesterday, I saw him at the corner, just kind of standing in the sun there, burned up about having no job. And he said,
"Oh, how does anybody know when a man's through? I'm not through, and I never have been. As long as a man wants to work, he's not through. So I'm keeping busy. Aye, they're not going to kill me with kindness. Do you know what I'm doing now, eh? Well, it's the truth. I've got a whole setup in the basement. Last week I made a little table, and this week I'm working on a chair. I've got to keep going. I've got to do things. You can hear me hammering down there now, can't you?
Is that you hammering?
Yeah. How does it sound to you? Eh? Young and vigorous?
It doesn't sound old.
I'll say it doesn't. There's plenty of people around here that can use a table or a chair or one thing or another. And I'm going to go ahead and make these things. And if they can't afford to pay for the lumber, I'll make them a present of it. I like to be making something. I don't like to sit around being an old man. Ever hear me sing while I'm working?
Yes, I believe I have.
Well, now, how does it sound? Hey, come on now, tell me the truth.
Not bad at all. What is that song you keep singing all the time?
Oh, it's Dolly Day.
Is that what it is?
Ah, you mean, oh, Dolly Day, she looks a gay. I run all around and around to hear her fairy footsteps play as she comes o'er the ground.
Yes.
Oh. Aye, it's my favorite, Dolly Day. It's my wee wifey's name, Dolly. Well, so long, lad.
So long, Pop. I'll be seeing you. Well, the old man and his wife, they're folks. And the girl, their granddaughter, she's a stenographer somewhere, and she goes to work every morning looking like a princess. The old man, he's Scotch, and his wife's English, or the little French. And the granddaughter's mother, she has some Spanish. That's a lot of folks. Well, I was sitting on the steps last Sunday when the girl came home from church. I never saw anything prettier. She's something like her grandfather when it comes to starting a conversation anywhere at all. She came up the street and started talking from about 10 yards away.
Hello. You're the man who's taken the flat upstairs, aren't you? You know, it seems funny not hearing a lot of noise up there anymore. There were 5 growing kids in the family that moved out just before you moved in, and, gee, they sure used to have a lot of fun. Gosh, it's a beautiful day, isn't it?
It sure is. One of the most beautiful I've ever seen. Too good to waste indoors.
That's one thing I like about church on a good day. When it's all over, you go out humming the last song they sang, and you step into beautiful sunshine and walk home feeling glad and hungry and happy about everything.
I've got to do that. I've got to go to a church next Sunday myself. What kind of sermon was it?
Oh, it was a little sad and made me feel angry about the war and the way people are behaving, but... Well, you got to know about wars and what they mean to people and what they do. So the last song we sang was Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages. I haven't heard that song in years.
Oh, it's a beautiful song. Rock of Ages. Cleft for me. It's good for people to feel that something is solid for them to hang on to. People sing songs like that all over the world, I guess. What do you do?
Yes, that's exactly how she said it. She's an American. She wanted to know, so she asked. She was sincere, and she was interested. I told her, I'm a painter.
Oh, a house painter?
Well, I paint houses, too, among other things, but I don't mean that kind of painting. I paint on canvas.
You mean you're an artist?
Well, yes, although that sounds a little high-toned for me. I'm a worker whose work it is to paint. I've got no boss, and I don't keep regular hours or anything like that. But I work like everybody else.
Gosh, I never knew people could live so near artists.
Wait a minute, don't get me wrong. I'm not famous. In fact, I'm not very well known to more than 10 or 11 people in the whole world. I'm not rich either. I'm sort of poor, but it seems like everything I really want and need, I usually...
Well, how do people get to be painters?
Well, I suppose it creeps up on them gradually until they're so sure they're painters they're willing to work for years trying to prove it. I'm in my 7th year now.
Have you got a lot of paintings?
Lots of them. Dozens.
Could I see them sometime?
Well, I wish you would. But I've got to warn you, they're not nearly as pretty as some people in the world. Well, why don't you get your grandfather and grandmother and someday when I'm in town, go upstairs and loaf around. Door's always open.
Oh, we wouldn't go into your house if you weren't there.
Well, why not? It would be easier for you to look at the paintings and I wouldn't be there to bother you and try to explain them to you. It's not easy for a painter to explain his pictures. You see, you start to paint things and after a while, as you learn more and more about painting, you start to paint what's inside of things and always coming out. Light comes out of most things, especially people. And it sometimes comes out of houses and streets and rooms and windows and all sorts of things that everybody sees every day. Well, I sort of concentrate on that light. I'm interested in it, even when there's no sun shining. If you look carefully, you can see light coming out of all sorts of things. But it's not easy to explain.
Gosh, you sound like a preacher. Only it sounds real, not like a sermon.
Everybody's a preacher, yes, but simply a question what a man preaches.
Well, what do you preach?
Tell you the truth, I believe something that's so ordinary, it's almost embarrassing to mention it. In fact, somebody sophisticated might laugh at me. I believe there's more good in things than anybody ever bothers to see. So I keep looking for it all the time. And when I find it, I try to keep it in a painting so other people can see it too. After they see it in a painting, well, they see it everywhere else too. That's what painting's for.
Say, can we really go up and look at the paintings?
Oh, I'm going to take a walk to town in about an hour. Why don't you all go up after you've had dinner? I won't be back until evening.
Are you sure you won't mind?
Mind? I want you to see my pictures. That's why I paint them.
All right, then. We'll go up. And thanks.
Okay. Well, she walked off, and I went up to my room. You hear that? That's Michael Ogawa. He lives across the street. He's 16. His father runs that cleaning and pressing place. Mike delivers for his father. I've been here only 2 weeks and I know practically everybody in this block. Take Mike, for instance. He came upstairs one afternoon with one of my suits his father had cleaned and pressed. I was working at the time, and it looked as if it was going to be a good picture, so I didn't want to stop working. I hollered, "Come in." The door opened, and somebody said,
"I brought your suit."
"Okay, bring it up and put it on a chair somewhere." I went right on working. I guess I must have worked at least 40 minutes more before I stopped. The picture wasn't finished, and I didn't feel like doing any more work for a while. Wait till morning and go back to it fresh. Well, I lit a cigarette, inhaled and yawned and stretched. Hello, who are you?
Mike.
Hiya, my name is Jim Smith.
Pleased to meet you.
How long have you been here?
Ever since I brought your suit.
Oh, I'm sorry, how much is it?
Oh, it's all paid for. You paid my father the day you brought it in, don't you remember?
Then why...
I wanted to see you make the picture. I never saw a man paint a picture before. Can I look at it?
Sure. It's not finished, but you can take a look at what I've got so far.
Thanks. That sure is pretty.
Do you really mean that?
That second house, that's our house, isn't it?
But do you live in that house with the green roof?
Sure, right over the shop. Wait till I tell Pa. Sure is pretty.
What's your last name, Mike?
Akagawa. Bet you know what nationality that is.
Well, since it's yours, I'd say it's American.
Oh, sure. But when it's my father's, it's Japanese, I guess. He was born in Japan. I was born in that house in the picture. Gee, I never thought I'd see that little house in the picture.
Listen to Mike Akagawa across the street blowing the trumpet. Isn't that beautiful? That's what I like about this block. All the wonderful Americans living here, doing their work and raising their families, going to school, trying to learn how to play the trumpet, and looking around everywhere for the good things. 3 doors from here is the Areola family. Father, mother, and 7 kids, all under 17. Well, they're a great gang of people. The father works in the wholesale produce market, so he gets up at 3 a.m. to go to work. You know, I sometimes walk around town late at night to see how things are then. And one night, as I was coming home, I ran into Pete Areola on his way to work. Well, it's very quiet at 3 a.m, and you don't expect a stranger to come up to you and start to talk. But Pete did.
Hello.
Hello.
You are the new fellow in this neighborhood, ain't you?
Yes, I am. I've got that flat 3 doors up from your place.
Sure, I see you before. What's your name?
Jim Smith.
My name is Pete Areola.
That's a good name, Pete. You're up early, aren't you?
I go to work every day at 3 o'clock in the morning. Where have you been? You work nighttime?
Oh, in a way.
What do you mean?
Well, I haven't got any working hours, so I guess they're all working hours.
Where do you work?
Pete, I'm a painter. I paint pictures. I look around and paint what I see.
You, painter? Artist?
Yeah.
I work wholesale produce market. Where's your family?
Well, my wife's visiting a folks. She'll be here in a week or so.
Lonesome, huh?
Oh, little.
You got kids? I got 7 kids.
7, that's well. I got only 2.
I got 7. All go to school except 2, the babies. Sometime you lonesome, come over to the house. Have a drink of wine, eat some food, and meet the kids.
Thanks, Pete, I will.
Jim, your name?
Yeah, Jim Smith.
All right, Jim, come on over. We have a good time.
Okay. So I went over to Pete's the next night and met the family.
Oh, hello, Jim Smith. Come in, come in. You have supper with us. Hey, Angela, come and get some wine for our new neighbor. This is Jim Smith. Angela, my wife.
How do you do, Mrs. Ariel?
Hello, young fella.
These are my kids. Hey, kids, wait 1 minute. Meet the new neighbor, Jim Smith. Now, let's see. We start with the babies. This is Nicky.
Hi, Nick.
Hey, Angela, look. The neighbor pick up Nicky. Nicky, you like this fella? Sure you like him, but that's fine. This little girl is Nora, my little flower. This fella is Pat. Hey, Pat, how do you feel?
Okay, Pa. Hello, Mr. Smith.
Hello, Pat.
This lady, oh, she's a lady. Look, those high heel shoes. She's Rosa. Gonna to be opera singer.
I'm gonna be a school teacher.
All right, Rosa, a school teacher and opera singer, too.
Papa wants everybody to be an opera singer.
Next, the big fella. Joe, 14.
Hi.
Tom, 15 and a half.
Hello.
And the oldest boy is Dominic, 16 and a half.
Hi.
There's another one on the way. All right, everybody, this fella, our new neighbor, Jim Smith. All right, Jim, drink this wine. Now, come on, kids, let's give a song. Oh, solo me, everybody together. Dominic, give me 1 chord in F and make it a good one.
Sang and I sang as loud as anybody else. We drank and had supper together and talked, and before I left that house, I knew how important a part of America it is. What a fine American Pete is, and his wife, and all the kids. They've all been up to my place for a visit, and now and then the oldest boy, Dominic, comes up alone and talks. Everybody I've met on this block so far has had something to talk about. Dominic, for instance, wants to know if he ought to go to college, like his father wants him to. Or if he ought to get out and go to work down at the wholesale produce market and help out with the family expenses. Well, I don't say anything. I just listen. And after 2 or 3 visits, Dominic answers all his own questions. He gets up and he says,
Well, thanks a lot, Mr. Smith. Thanks for telling me. That's what I'll do. I'll go to college and work both. I guess there's time for everything. If a fellow makes up his mind to find the time... I can work during summer vacation. And I can work Saturdays. I'd work Sundays, too, but we're Catholics, and Maud gets sore if I didn't go to church Sunday. Well, I'll be seeing you. Gee, that sure is a swell picture.
There's a fellow who's got a furnished room in the house at the corner. He's a doctor at the hospital up the hill. There's a clinic up there, and I drop in once in a while to see the people when they're sick. And that's where I met this fellow. Well, the kids love him. They're afraid of the other doctors, but they love Dr. John. John Bailey is his name, but they call him Dr. John. We got to talking, and he came up one afternoon for a drink. I wanted to know why the kids weren't afraid of him. Most people are a little afraid of anybody whose color is a little different from their own, and Bailey's color is the blackest black you ever saw. I asked him about the kids not being afraid of him.
Well, maybe it's because kids are people at their best. A kid with a pain, all he wants is to have the pain taken out of him. I don't go to work on a kid until I get him to know him. We talk a little while, and the first thing I know, they forget I'm a doctor. They even forget I'm colored. And then I know I can go to work. The greater part of pain is feeling hopeless about it. And I never feel hopeless about anything. Kids find out about that, and they stop being afraid of pain too. Well, by that time, more than half of it's gone, and what's left of it is on its way out. I laugh a good deal, too, because laughter's just about as strong as sunlight as a healing force. Where there's laughter, there's never fear. It helps the kids.
Well, how does it happen that you do laugh, though?
Well, I didn't used to. I used to let my own troubles grow until finally I found out that that was foolishness. The living are healthy. Life is healthy. I know that from my way. I've got to help them with medicine and heat and treatment and all that. But what really heals them is their own faith. Mind if I have another drink?
Go ahead. Pour me one, too. All the people in this block are like that, like Bailey and Pete and Mike Okagawa, and the old man and his granddaughter. But this block's no different from any other block in any other town in America. People are like that all over the place. And when you've got people with light coming out of them, like it comes out of these people, and you've got light coming out of their houses and the streets they live in and the towns where these streets are and the whole land where these towns are, you hear them coming to life in the morning. The alarm clock's ringing, the faucet's running, and everybody getting up to start another day. You know they're a happy people, because they belong to a happy nation. They're a free people, and they're glad to be alive. I've done a lot of looking around all over this country, because that's my work, and everywhere I've gone, from the biggest city to the smallest town, I've seen people with light in them, human people. People who are young and friendly and kind. Oh, I know, I've seen bad people too, all kinds of them. But I looked a long time, and it's gotten so I can see them right through people who look as if they're bad. But they're not bad. They're having trouble. They're up against something. Things have gone wrong. They've lost faith. They need more things than they've got. They're out fighting because they don't know what else to do about the trouble. But even these people are good people. Something's pressing against their spirits, hurting them. Everything isn't perfect in any block, in any town or city in this country. But in this country, it's always trying to improve. It's always working at the job. The same as a painter's got to work at a picture he's painting. Look out this window down at the street. It's not a fancy street. The houses aren't much. People in them aren't people you read about in newspapers and magazines. But down there is America. That street and those houses and the people living in them. There is the strength of this nation and the hope of the world. Look at the light shining out of those humble houses. That light is the light of a happy nation, a free and growing people, a human people, a people without fear, a people who love instead of hate, whose casual everyday humanity is stronger than any other power in the world. This is a good block. I like it here. Because the best in people from all over the world is growing here into the first real nation of the world, the American nation, the nation of human people.
Burgess Meredith speaking. Thank you, William Saroyan. In many countries, the light of humanity flickers and dies, snuffed out by faceless men, by men who have no light in themselves and who therefore deny the existence of light anywhere. Our nation was formulated by men who cherish the light that comes from people. The meaning of our freedom is this: not here in our land, darkness can never win. Let us resolve again, in the face of threatening shadows, that government of the people, by the people, and for the people, shall not perish from the earth. John Garfield, whom you see soon in Warner Brothers' The Sea Wolf, Nancy Kelly will be remembered for her work in Jesse James, Eduardo Cianelli, who played the unforgettable Trock in RKO's Winterset, Edmund Gwend, whose performance as the murderer and foreign correspondent received high acclaim, William Tracy, who played the delightful fresh kid in MGM's A Little Shop Around the Corner and was now appearing in Daryl Zanuck's Tobacco Road, Tim Holt, who is starring in RKO's The Fargo Kid, and Clinton Rosamond, who is appearing in MGM's forthcoming Blossoms in the Dust, have joined the free company in presenting the first in a series of broadcasts, William Saroyan's original radio play, The People with Light Coming Out of Them. Leith Stevens composed and conducted an original music score. Charles Vander produced. To all these people, to the Screen Actors Guild, to the American Federation of Radio Artists, and to the Columbia Network, all who have combined to make this series possible, this is Burgess Meredith offering the sincere thanks of the Free Company.
All those who enjoyed Mr. Saroyan's play, The People with Light Coming Out of Them, will be glad to know that a complete copy of the broadcast in printed form has been made available for distribution to all our listeners. For 10 cents, the actual cost of printing and mailing, you will receive your own copy by writing to the Free Company in care of the station to which you are now listening. Copies of subsequent broadcasts during this entire series of productions by the Free Company will also be made available each week. Next week, at this same time, the Free Company will present a play by the Pulitzer Prize winner, Mark Connelly, titled The Mole on Lincoln's Cheek. The Free Company series is directed by Irving Reese. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.